There is an old belief that the universe is made of stories, not atoms. Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff is a show that's about the stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Dialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. In an era of going green, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How do stories influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? Dr. Jeff offers stories of wisdom, healing, and transformation, and engages others to tell stories of what it means to be human and weavers of the fabric of the world, Gaia. Expect the provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic with Dr. Jeff. Get ready to expand the imagination, heal the heart, and inspire personal, social, and planetary evolution. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jeff Lineweaver.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? This is Dr. Jeff Lineweaver, and you are here for a place where story seeds the imagination and inspires you towards personal, social, and planetary evolution. Every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Dialogue Radio, we will have some of the most gifted storytellers, social entrepreneurs, change agents, speakers, and authors helping you make sustainability epic. And today, I thought I'd change things up a bit. We've had a number of guests over the past month who brought up some really big themes that I think I want to spend time talking about and tell you some stories and let you get to know me a little bit better and understand the importance of story in our lives. And so today, your guest is me. So today, we are talking about creation stories and the power of creation stories. So creation stories are ubiquitous in life. Our families tell us stories of our birth. At family gatherings and holidays across the world, families love to tell memorable, hilarious, and embarrassing stories of our childhood. And at business meetings or on airplanes, at parties, we tell stories about how we got to where we are today, who we are, how we came to be. And oftentimes we'll have short versions of our stories for acquaintances and long versions for our closest friends. And then the cleaned up versions for more kind of a official stories. So I like to think of things stories as we have kind of the stories we live versus the stories we told. And origin myths and creation stories of who we are at the core of all of the bigger creation stories that we hear about in the world, whether in different cultures. So, you know, cultures tell stories about their own creation, and people tell stories about how they got sick and how they got well. People talk about how they are resilient. The story about how Elvis Rose is often a big story that people like to talk about, or their origin myths of self. So I thought I'd tell you a little story that's more of a personal story. It starts a long, long time ago, back in the 60s, at a time and a place almost forgotten, way up in the mountains of the Andes. There was a time where the towns and the villages called that time a time of la violencia, where people and social society broke down. And in this world, there was a family. And in this family, there was a girl who was pregnant. But because of the violence in these streets of this long forgotten town deep in the heart of Latin America, this girl gave birth one day. And as part of that, because of the la violencia, her father and her family felt that the baby would not be safe in this time and in this place of la violencia. And so this baby was placed in secret to a convent with many nuns inside of an orphanage in a far-off room inside of a big cathedral. And there this baby was, and there this baby had been. But one day, through synchronicity, in a far-off town in Latin America, another group of people heard about this baby that had been whispered about. And they got in a plane, and they went to this far-off town, and they went to this cathedral where in the back room, the Mother Superior had a baby. And the people all talked, and the baby smiled, and there was great delight in everyone's eyes. And the Mother Superior of this convent knew that this baby had found a new place to be in the world. And so she spoke with the family who had placed the baby there in secret and said, "What do you think?" And over time, they thought, and they came back and they said, "We think this is the right thing." And before you knew it, this baby had been given the blessing of a greater blessing and had been given time to be reborn anew, to be reincarnated in a time of disintegration within this small town. And from that, the baby was reborn and brought to a brand new family and to a brand new city and into a brand new life beyond La Violencia. Now, this story is a story of someone that I know quite dear. And this story is a story that is just a creation story. It is a story told from one person to another person to another person. But this person who's told me this story has often said, "Well, I could look at life and say I was a victim. And I could look at life and say, how did all of this happen?" But this person relays this story that to them, this is a great story of reincarnation. This is a great story of leap, and the net will appear. And so this is just one of many creation stories. But the person that I know who tells this story, they were internationally adopted long before the days when international adoption was a big thing, back before people even knew of the name. And so this person always says, people would like to story me into a place of being ill, where this one piece of my origin myth makes me be somehow marked. But what I have learned from this person is that this story has been nothing more than a wellspring for their life. And they always talk about how you know, storytelling is a practice of looking at the faces of self. And I find that the most amazing aspect of what story means, that when we talk, you know, what we talk about reflects the story we're in. And creation stories are filled with that. And so, you know, thus, you know, we begin a story that, and the idea that everyone needs a creation story, just as much as cultures need stories about their origins. And all people require a story about their appearance of their illness or the problem in their life, or whether or not the story matches what other people hope the story might turn out to be. So when we talk about, and this kind of the theme of today is really around creation origin stories, I wanted to start off with a personal story passed down to me to tell this story to all of you. Because, well, much of the show is around kind of mythic issues and how mythology and living myth comes into play. There is this idea that we live in a world where living myth is a part of our own lives, and stories and creation myths can be whatever we want to be. There's kind of a famous saying that all stories are lies, because they're always, on one hand, stories that are set between stories lived, stories told, the unknowable, the unhearable, and sometimes just the unheard. So when we come back after the next break, we will talk more about the creation stories and how people can reauthor their lives and find a new place of reinvention when it comes to story. So we're going to take a break in just a little bit. And again, you're listening to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff. Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Shasai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
We are back on Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff, and today your guest is me. and we are talking about creation stories, origin stories, and what all of this means in our lives, kind of our personal mythology as well as our cultural mythology and our cultural creation stories. So I started our time off today talking about somebody's individual personal origin myth and personal creation story. And what I think is important about the story that I brought up was because it highlights the fact that sometimes and oftentimes we dance between storying ourselves versus being storied by others. And I think this is a really crucial issue in today where everyone's trying to win by talking points, where story has lost this idea that it's a solid, fixed thing. And the reality is you know, as in the 21st century, the human race, the more and more, the faster we are kind of living our lives, we're learning that certainty crumbles in our hands all the time. And I think that is true when it comes to our kind of trying to box our stories in. And what does it, and what does that mean? You know, I like this idea of certainty crumbles in our hands, but our lives and our life stories teach us who we are. That, to me, this is such an important part of what it means to be a human being, and why sometimes you find that people have lived lives where something tragic has happened to them. In this case, I started the day off talking about someone who was orphaned in a city in South America where there was great violence, where neighbors upon neighbors were killing one another. And out of that, a child was brought to a convent. And out of that, the child was brought to a new family. And out of that, and through these synchronicities, this person came to be. But that person, and this reason why I tell the story, is that it's an important piece to realize that they do not see themselves as victims. And instead, they see themselves as an individual who is there recreating their life and telling the story and letting their story be that which teaches them who they are. So I'd like to read you a poem. It is called Giordano Bruno and the Muddy Footprint. Furry demons come to the door offering separations. The crane's foot in the mud is the map of our life, and that sucking sound of the farm boot is the planet's cry. Curly hair guards the opening to the womb, because there is heaven inside the womb. We will not allow our eyes to turn away from a single black hair. There is so much glory in the great hooves of the stag that Tristan tracks through the glen, and so much fear in the naked footprint near the river. It's all right to praise the raven's dark feet and the crows settling down at dusk in the oak, for setting stars always predict the stars that rise. The web in the morning speaks of the origin of all dew, and the lovers look at each other's bodies so carefully, and they need no more and see all India there. What relaxes us comes from God. It was when he first saw the print of the sparrow's foot in the mud that Giordano Bruno knew that the world was on fire. That is a poem by Robert Bly. And what I find profound about this poem and about the life of someone named Giordano Bruno is Giordano Bruno was someone who lived a life 400 years ago. And he lived a life that he was literally burned at the stake for trying to tell the story of his life in a way that made sense to him and all the new ideas that came to him in his life. Giordano Bruno believed that all nature was held in unity, that there was a living essence in all of nature, and that that wasn't just a collection of parts, but there was a great whole to how nature and how we all fit in the world. And so, just like even in the Bible or many other religions and philosophies, he saw that you could find the infinite and the numinous or the spiritual or the sacred and the littlest of little, as much as we find the biggest of big. And he was burned at the stake for trying to talk with people about seeing life in a very different way. And I think it's a remarkable place to recognize that we live in a time where so many of us can reinvent ourselves. And yet we are inspired by people who lived 400 years ago, who had the courage to try to author themselves in a different way instead of being authored by society. And this is such an important part when it comes to re-seeing who we are and reconnecting to how we story our life forward. Giordano Bruno reminds me of, this past weekend, if you hadn't heard about it, there was something called the supermoon. And the supermoon was out, and it was closer to the Earth than it has been in a long time. And so the moon was huge. And it used to be that these were a time where many people would actually hide indoors because they didn't want the moon to find them. And that there was a fear of this moon. But there were other cultures and other communities that have creation myths where this moon and the connection to the stars was their everything. And so I'd like to tell you a quick little story, a creation story. It's an Apache story. Once upon a time, back at the beginning of time, back when time all began, the one who created all things created people and placed them on this earth to dwell. And when the people became and found a place to dwell, they found a place to live. But after time, as they were there, they did not like it there. And so the one who created all things came down and said, listen, if you don't like it, go ahead and move. And so they did. They found a new place to dwell. And after a time, everyone who was there, they were happy. And after they found a place to dwell, they started to get sick. And the one who came down, the one who created all things, came and said, why don't you help one another? And they said, well, we don't know how to help one another, being this is the beginning of all things. And so the one who created all things came and told everyone, listen, all things on this earth can be the cause of troubles, and all things on this earth can be the cure for the troubles that are caused. And so as it was and as it will be, there was one night when many people were out looking at the stars and looking at the great moon, and many ran away. But four people standing at all the directions, east, south, west, and north, they were there staring at the stars when suddenly they began to dance and sing lightning songs from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And over time, they said they found a healing voice. And as it was, the one who created all things came down and said, go ahead, place your hands on those who are sick. Place your hands and see what happens. And so they did. And so they did. And they came and sang their songs. And everyone was healed. And so from today going forward, people stand and stare at the stars, knowing that healing can come whenever they are there with the moon. So, we will take a break, and when we're back, we'll talk more about creation and origin stories.
My name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
What would it feel like to let go of a painful story that causes suffering? Discover how love is greater and more powerful than fear, anger, doubt, worry, or grief. Superior to any story about your life that causes suffering, there is a story of love waiting for you. Can you imagine a story without judgment? A story of forgiveness? A story that releases I can't and proclaims I can. Imagine a story where you let go of what was and embrace what is and create what you want for the future. The first 25 audience members to contact Dana at danafrost.com and inquire about the Pay It Forward, Pay What You Can coaching promotion are invited to a one-hour power-packed coaching session or two 30-minute coaching sessions. You simply pay what you can afford to pay. In the subject line, please input Pay What You Can coaching inquiry.
Each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camino Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The Five Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. To get your free copy now, that's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jeff, and you're listening to Guylog Radio. Thank you very much for joining in today. And in our last break, I was just telling you a short and sweet creation story, an Apache creation story, and this story was about how healing entered the world. And what I love about this story is this idea that some people were afraid to look at the moon. Some people are afraid to kind of be out there in the world, and because they're living in some story that they're afraid to see it, see things new. And in this Apache story about how healing entered the world, it's about people who didn't know how to heal one another. And so some people were afraid, while others stood and had a practice of standing and staring at the stars. And it was that practice of standing and looking at the stars, the inspiration came, a way of seeing their lives in a new way. And I think this is really powerful. I think another way of saying this is, there's a great quote of, your exact errors make a music that nobody hears. So I love that idea. Our errors make a music. We, especially ourselves, we don't understand, we don't hear. And so often, when I talk to people about story and storytelling, people are really wound up in trying to tell the right story, and or people have a story. They have a story, a recreation story, a way to kind of re-see their life, a way to tell their life in a new way, and there isn't a safe space to do so. And so I think that in this time when we're talking about recreation, creation myths, in an era of sustainability, or really rather in an era of unsustainability, we need to allow ourselves to come into a new place where story guides us in very unseen ways, where we recognize that we are constantly telling ourselves invisible stories that are made visible through how we tell our stories to one another. And again, whether that's a victim story or a story of reinvention, a story of reincarnation, it can happen. Our stories are deeply important. And in one of our first guests, Danny Deardorff, spoke to us about this concept of living images or living myth versus dead metaphors or kind of dead images. And at a time now where we have the computer and we're always looking at imagery and we have kind of everything is kind of made into kind of a stereotype view. So when I say sustainability, oftentimes people think of a green tree or, they can't kind of get away from the image. And in some ways that's a dead image because we all go to the same image. But through living myth, this idea of kind of living images and living myth. So through living myth, we bring ourselves into an accord, into a balance with the rhythms of the living world. When I say living world, I'm thinking of our interior, our imaginary worlds, our inner stories, as much as our exterior stories and our social stories and the world of nature. And myths are stories that tell us sacred truths about the use of facts. They're filled with instinct, intelligence, and inspiration that speak of what and where we are now. And out of this sense of story and this living myth, the sense of location and purpose and relatedness, we begin to find new identities of ourselves. We begin to tell stories and hear other people tell stories where we have images that come up for us that are different than what other people would think. It's almost like dreaming awake. So in this manner, we enter into a conversation or a dance with the living world. And the dancing conversation is ritual. When I think of storytelling, remember I was talking about the creation myths. We all have different ways of talking about who am I or where am I from. That these myths are there to help us move ourselves forward. And that every time we tell that story, whether it's the short kind of stock story that we tell or a bigger grand story, we hear a big fairy tale story, that the storytelling part, the act of actually telling it, is ritual, and that it's not about forcing the images to be one specific thing, but it's the images that show up with other people to allow them to have all sorts of new senses of being, allow them to dream awake. So if humans, or, all of us, if we don't cultivate an active ritual life of storytelling, our so-called rites of passages become more formalities. Like, we don't just tell stories as talking points. The hidden key to living an authentic ritual storytelling life is that of creating a myth-making intelligence, of allowing ourselves to dream awake. When myth becomes rigid, when our images become rigid and fixed, they become dogma. And when ritual is no longer informed by the fluidity of our images, of living myth, it's reduced to mimicking. So to cultivate the image-laden language of myth, we have to shed the constraints and the blinders and the harnesses of our consensus world, of our reality check world, of where we're living in things that have to make sense all the time. this idea, this kind of model of kind of rational sense-making where we have to tell stories that are linear, that have a perfect beginning, middle, end, is in some ways kind of the mass man's domesticated worldview of how we ought to tell our stories. So as an example, if you say that you are in a particular job and you say you are a fireman, people have a story behind that. But oftentimes that fireman story may not be exactly what you do at all. In fact, they might have a story of stereotype, but they have fixed you into a particular domesticated worldview or domesticated constrained story. But what if your job is completely different than what they expected? What if doing that is very different? So we all have these labels that we dance around with, the who am I label. So again, I'll go back to the beginning of the show today when I talked about someone who is an orphan. Well, they are always saying that people say, oh, you must feel so bad. And they always say, no, I don't. But whenever this person would always say, whenever I tell people that I was an orphan, they have this stereotype of how I ought to be. But instead, they're really trying to author themselves by getting away from the mass man's domesticated worldview or that reality check of that locked-in image. So, you know, obviously this is much easier said than done because people are a kind of animal that require the forming of meaning-making. And meaning-making as it relates to particular labels, as it relates to places and community. And inevitably, sometimes how we tell our stories and the labels that we use for people, they create some types of alienation. And sometimes our stories, you tell a story in a very heartfelt way, you tell your story of yourself, you tell your own creation myth, and it doesn't stick. And yet we continually make the gray error of kind of anchoring our stories to how we want to persuade people to do what we want them to do, or persuade people into seeing us how we want to be seen. And this is so far away from a living myth intelligence, where we understand that every time we tell a story, whether it's a personal story or a mythic story or a story of just being in community, being in nature, that allowing for the story and you as a storyteller to let go and let half of it just kind of be out there and let people create their own images and not get so fixed is a big part of how we begin to come in tune with how we live our lives. And so part of this relatedness, this kind of how we relate with our story, is how we also connect to how we connect with being wild and how our identities can be wild in ways that, you know, when we say wild, a lot of people say, oh, that means out of control, right? Well, that to me goes back to this constrained mass man's view of storytelling and kind of story stereotyping. So far away from that, where the inner world and the outer world meet and touch, here is the seat of our stories. Here is the place where I encourage you to dream awake with one another and to develop ways in which story and the ways you engage in a ritual form of storytelling with one another, whether it's always in a certain time or a certain place or you tell it in a certain way, that you play with it, that you allow yourself to be wild in your storytelling, change it up, try new images, see how it reacts to people. Recognize that you can restory your world in any way possible. And I think that, again, back to this, you know, there are great stigmas around this idea of orphan. And so in that case, I brought this up at the beginning, you know, what if all the great heroes were orphans? Well, actually they are. Look at Superman. Superman is an orphan. Harry Potter was an orphan. All of these ideas really bring you forward. So the eyes of the living world are not those of a remote, impersonal way of storytelling. It's about unzipping ourselves and allowing ourselves to dream awake with one another and how we connect to our relatedness, our wildness, and our sense of refreshing and reinventing our identity. All right. Well, when we come back after the next break, we'll continue to talk about creation myths, origin myths, storytelling, and more. You're listening to Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Tune in to Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Guy Log Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Guy Log Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Are you ready to create a beautiful and powerful partnership between your heart and the essence of gratitude? Are you ready to create the life that you desire for yourself and your family? Then stop worrying about your bills and step out of the daily grind by tapping into infinite possibilities. Let the essence of gratitude infuse you on your journey. Join our Infusion of Gratitude community today and receive your free MP3 audio Infusion of Gratitude meditation. Daily use of this powerful 20 minutes meditation raises your awareness and welcomes health, wealth, and enriched relationships into your life. Visit us at explorationgratitude.com.
Everyone, I am Dr. Jeff, and you are listening to Guy Log Radio. All right. Well, we've been talking about what it means to have an origin story, to have a personal creation story. We've connected into some cultural creation stories, which are can be future shows. But, this idea of we were just talking about relatedness, identity, and wildness, and how that connects to living myth. And that living myth is, in many ways, allowing ourselves to tell stories about ourselves, about our relationship with the world, our relationship with one another, where there is wiggle room in the images that we have of one another, of how things ought to be. You know, oftentimes people have an intuition, and they're afraid to say the intuition. And as a coach, when I do coaching, I'm constantly surprised how many people are afraid to dream awake. And what I mean by that is they have an invisible story that they're telling themselves, and yet they don't have a safe space in which to tell it, in which to tell even their intuitive notion of how something ought to be. And so people keep this inside. They're afraid to tell their stories. And so as a part of that, they are authored more by others. They're authored more by society and lose this kind of connection to authoring oneself. And if we're going to make sustainability epic, we all have to learn to tell ourselves invisible stories that we make visible through our storytelling that allow us to dream awake, with one another. So, another story. So, once upon a time, back before there was a thing called time, there was an orphan boy whose job it was to watch the freshly threshed corn on the threshing floor of a barn. And one day he fell asleep and the hens ate the corn. Well, his stepmother was furious. And he exclaimed, "But I had a remarkable dream. I was standing with one foot in this world and one foot in the other. The sun was on my right side and the moon was on my left. And I wore a crown and my body was speckled with stars." And his stepmother looked at him and she said, "Give me that dream. Give me that dream, young boy," she said. And the orphan boy said, "I cannot. It's my dream. And it came to me." And so angrily, she sent him away, and he stepped over the threshold and went out into the world in search of his fortune and in search of his dream. And ultimately, the dreamer came to a palace. And there was a king outside and inquired what the dreamer was doing. And the boy explained that he'd lost his home and his work because of his dream. And he told the dream to the king. And when he was done telling the dream to the king looked at him and said, "Give me your dream." And when the boy refused, the king placed him in a dungeon. But the king's daughter, the princess, was being forced to marry a king that she mistrusted. And she took pity on the dreamer orphan boy and brought him food. And night after night and day after day, the dreamer solved impossible riddles posed by her father, until he not only won his freedom, but he won her freedom. And at last, the king was so impressed by the dreams of the dreamer that he asked her to marry the dreamer, which of course caused the rejected king to declare war upon their kingdom. And the dreamer said, "I will battle this king," and went off to fight this king without an army, but only armed with his dreaming mind. Now, over trials and tribulations and many years of battle, the dreamer returned to his wife. Now, the old king had died, and the new dreamer came back with a new wife, because as he beat the old king, or the king that he was in battle with, that king was so impressed with his dreaming mind that he said, "You must marry my daughter." And so the dreamer came back to the princess with a wife and married this other princess. And because of his journey, one foot was planted in each world. And the princess sat beside him like the sun. And the other king's daughter sat beside him like the moon. And the water from a golden bowl his five-year-old son held shimmering on his chest like the stars in the sky. And his queen said, "You did not give away your dream, and it has come true." And I love that story. It's a story, to me, that speaks volumes of where we are today. How do you dream awake? How do you have a big dream and tell it to the world and hold on to it? I hear so many people talk about reinventing their lives, reinventing the world, how they talk about taboo things and sustainability, you know, giving up their car or trying something new in a new way or reinventing an industry that may cause layoffs to happen. Whatever that is, people are consistently confronted with others who want to take their dreams away. Just like in this story where the kings wanted to take his dreams away and the stepmother wanted the dreams, both for envy and fear. But it's about holding on and learning to dream awake. And I love this in this story about how the dreamer went to battle only with his dreaming mind, only with his sense of the making the impossible possible, of trusting the vision and the dreams which come to him on a daily basis. And so when I think back to this creation story that we talked about earlier, of people going and standing and staring at stars, it reminds me of another poem. Do you remember the night Abraham first called to the stars? He cried to Saturn, "You are my Lord." And how happy he was when he saw the dawn star. He cried, "You are my Lord." And how destroyed he was when he watched them set. Friends, he is like us. We take as our Lord the stars that go down. We are faithful companions to the unfaithful stars. We are diggers like badgers. We love to feel the dirt flying out from behind our hind claws. And no one can convince us that mud is not beautiful. It is our badger soul that thinks so. We are ready to spend the rest of our life walking with muddy shoes in the wet fields. And we resemble exiles in the kingdom of the serpent. We stand in the onion fields looking up at the night. My heart is as calm potato by day and a weeping abandoned woman by night. Friend, tell me what to do, since I am a man in love with the setting stars. Again, this is another Robert Bly poem. I hope you all have great dreams this week. I hope you take advantage of the invisible stories that tell you how to move yourself forward and dream new stories, tell new stories. You can reauthor your life. You can create new creation stories. Again, thank you for joining me. This is Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff Lineweaver. Every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, we are here to make sustainability epic. You've been listening to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff Lineweaver. Tune in each week, Monday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more transformative stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Dialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Explore the questions that challenge us all by asking, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How does it influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? For more about Dialogue Radio, visit www.guylog.com. That's guylog.com. See you next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Shasai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to up-level their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest-growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.